From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, May 6th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones as he shares his thoughts on the challenge of attracting more Black students to the U of I. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. For 1 year now, activists have been urging the city of Champaign to pull back investments connected to the state of Israel. IPM's May Antar has more.
Community members have been asking the Champaign City Council to call for an end to the, quote, genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza. But city leaders say the conflict isn't a local issue. Duha al-Dusuki is a local Palestinian and a member of the Champaign-Urbana Muslim Action Committee. She says city officials aren't taking the safety of her community seriously.
Are they, waiting for one of us to get abducted for our Palestinian, organizing? Are they waiting for violence to actually come to, our doors?
Al-Dusuki says activists are holding a rally ahead of tonight's city council meeting. May Antar, IPM News.
The race to replace U.S. Senator Dick Durbin gets larger this morning. Alex Degman reports.
As expected, U.S. Representative Robin Kelly has entered the race. The Chicago Democrat has represented Illinois' 2nd Congressional District, covering parts of Chicago's South Side, the South Suburbs, and parts of Eastern Illinois. Kelly says she's now running for the Senate because she's been an effective leader.
I won't be backing down from our president, and I'm a fighter. And all of that went into my decision, and I've had many people call me over the years to consider running, and I decided that I would do that.
Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton is also running in the Democratic primary. Kelly's announcement is the second shakeup in the Illinois delegation in less than a day as Democrats look to regain control of the House. Jan Schakowsky announced yesterday that she'll retire at the end of this term. I'm Alex Degman.
A month after the Trump administration announced sweeping tariffs on imports to the U.S., the pork and soybean industries are closely watching how countries respond. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports.
Weekly export sales for U.S. pork recently hit a marketing year low, in part because China canceled 12,000 metric tons. Iowa State Extension economist Chad Hart says agricultural export sales fluctuate, but aggregate data over the last 4 months shows countries are buying less U.S. pork.
We've been seeing a fairly downward trend, and I think pork producers have been factoring that in as they are looking at how they're marketing their animals over time.
Hart emphasizes the tariff impacts vary by industry. The time of year matters too. He says the majority of soybean export sales have already been made and delivered this marketing year, which ends in August. The U.S.-China trade war could have a much greater impact on the soybean industry if retaliatory tariffs are still in place this fall. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
Illinois Secretary of State Alexei Janulius says people should make sure they need a real ID before trying to get one. Starting tomorrow, travelers will need a real ID or passport to board a domestic flight. A visibly frustrated Janulius says false information about who needs a real ID is creating long lines.
We have been saying for months and over a year now that even after May 7th, you will still be able to get a real ID. The real ID deadline isn't really a deadline.
Janulius says his office will issue real IDs for the foreseeable future. Still to come, a conversation with University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones as he shares his thoughts on and the challenge of attracting more Black students to the U of I. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 74 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 51 degrees, west wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 78 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 50 degrees, north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 70 degrees and a northeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, after nearly a decade, U of I Chancellor Robert Jones is moving on. We'll hear about leading Illinois' flagship university through budget fights, COVID-19, and the Trump administration's attack on higher education.
it really could potentially set our research and innovation agenda back 20 years or more.
I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Nearly 9 years ago, Robert Jones became the 10th chancellor of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. This summer, he leaves the cornfields of Illinois to become the next president of the University of Washington in Seattle. All week, we're sharing parts of a conversation Jones had with IPM News and Public Affairs Director Reginald Hardwick. Today, Jones addresses the challenge of attracting Black students to the U of I. But we'll start with his comments on Governor J.B. Pritzker's push to offer four-year degrees at Illinois community colleges, at a time when high school graduate numbers are dropping.
Well, I mean, there's different opinions about this. Our perspective at the University of Illinois and across the system is if the governor thinks that this is something that has merit, we certainly support there being the opportunity to have a conversation about what this means and what is going to be the value proposition. Why would we do this? And I've had conversations with President Lowe here from Parkland, and she and I are on the same page about if they decide to move in that direction, it won't replicate, duplicate programs that we already offer in partnership with them or that we do as a flagship land-grant university. Because I think while this is an idea that's worth exploring, the reality is that we need to look at it in the context of the declining enrollment that we see across some of the other state universities, and how is this going to provide additional educational opportunities? Because that's the background and the premise for it, is that for some students, apparently, because of the distance involved, if they had the ability to pursue a four-year degree at a community college, it would be value added for them. But at the same time, I think the governor has been very clear about there being some guardrails around this initiative to make sure we're not duplicating effort, because that is only going to further exacerbate a very troubling situation where we have now, where a number of our institutions across the state are struggling financially and programmatically, and so we got to make sure that this doesn't further exacerbate the problem.
We're nearly 57 years after the launch of Project 500, the effort to dramatically increase Black and other underrepresented students at the U of I. As of spring 2025, Black student enrollment sits about 3,600 in an institution of 56,000. What are the challenges of retaining and recruiting Black students to the U of I?
Well, let me say the challenges are multiple challenges, and I can say unequivocally, while most people focus on the percentage of students, particularly Black students that we have at the university, you won't find a place among our peer group or many other universities across the nation that has a higher graduation rate. For Black and brown students, only a few percentage points lower than majority students. And through our Project 2030, we had committed millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars to close that gap. The problem with percentages is that people forget about the broader landscape of higher education. The fact that there's an enrollment cliff. I know some people try to play it off as just another higher education threat. But the bottom line is that the number of African-American students, and particularly that are going to be graduating from high schools here in the state of Illinois, is already starting to decline and will decline precipitously by 2027. That's a huge problem because already we're having difficulty having availability of students from high school that are interested in staying in the state getting an education. Large number of those students go elsewhere, because places are able to offer full-ride scholarship. But the second part of this enrollment cliff is not only a decline in the number of students that are graduating, because the African-American population is declining, the number of children that are born is declining. The other part of the problem is the precipitous decline in the number of those students that are graduating that are college-ready. So this is a multiple-pronged problem. People want to focus just on the percentage that we take into the university. our applications have gone up dramatically over the last 4 or 5 years. And I was talking to Provost yesterday. I'm willing to bet you we have 75,000 plus applications this year for the first year class at the University of Illinois. Out of those number of applications, we extend more offers than we've ever extended. We have still a challenge in terms of converting those offers into acceptances. And again, for probably 30% of those students that decline our offer, it's an issue of money. It's an issue of the university not being in a position to offer a full ride scholarship, whereas others are able to do so. But we're addressing that issue. We're spending more money, probably $50, $60 million a year, more than we've ever spent before. And we are focusing a lot of that on making sure those students that have been offered admission, we're closing that financial gap. And in fact, notwithstanding what happened with the SCOTUS decision, and notwithstanding what you might hear elsewhere, actual number of African-American students, for example, is increased incrementally. When everybody was afraid that because of SCOTUS, it was going to decline precipitously. And the reason that it increased incrementally, and I predict is going to go up even higher in the next few years, because we've made an absolute commitment to close that financial gap and to continue to be able to make University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign the best, most cost-effective option for any family pursuing, interested in that child pursuing a degree. And we've done this by the Illinois commitment, which about 22-24% of our students in that class or people of color. And we just raised the financial limits of that from $67,100 to $75,000 per year. So, you know, I know things get framed broadly in the way that you put it, but it's a more complex story. But I guess the take-home message is this is something that we've remained committed to. And as I depart here in a few months, I am very much encouraged that all the data we see indicates that we are closing that gap, because it's a part of the commitment that I made when I came here to keep education accessible and affordable for all, not just for black and brown students, but for low social economic students from central and southern Illinois, wherever southern Illinois starts. That's an absolute commitment that we're making some progress. But the thing I want to emphasize, you can't just focus on the intake. You have to focus on what this university is doing. It has one of the highest graduation rates for black and brown students in the nation, with a smaller gap between majority students and so-called underrepresented students. Because that means we're sending more students out to have very, very productive careers and very much improved quality of life. So that's what it's all about from where I sit.
You're the first black chancellor of the University of Illinois. How does that figure into the legacy of Project 500?
I don't know if it fits into the legacy of Project 500 or not, because I don't focus a lot on being the first black chancellor. It's just that I happen to be black, and I have been afforded the opportunity to lead two major universities, and a third one I'll be starting in a few months. So I don't focus more on being the first black anything, because what that says more than anything else is that, Reggie, there's more work to be done, because you would think at this point in time we wouldn't be seeing, you know, 25-30% of our students being first-generation students coming to college. And so I look at the fact that I happen to be African-American as my life story. You know, my path has been a road less traveled, as they say, being the son of sharecroppers from southwestern Georgia. There was not a lot of opportunities for kids like me and from my community.
That was University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones speaking with IPM's Reginald Hardwick. We'll pick up our conversation tomorrow when Jones talks about what he learned during two major crises. You can watch the entire interview on the Illinois Public Media Channel on YouTube. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Alex Degman, Rachel Kramer, Isabella Nieto, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.